Hello, everyone. We are back. I am here with my lovely friend and spiritual life coach, Chelsea. Today, we're just going to kind of talk and hang out and see what comes up. She is local here in Excelsior Springs and has a fantastic business called Beyond Wellness and Yoga, is that right? Yep. And we do yoga classes and we do spiritual healing things and sound baths and all just magical stuff. She's absolutely fantastic. I've been working with her for a little over 4 years, maybe closer to five at this point. And she just has this way of sharing information with the world that makes you kind of take pause and say, okay, well, I never really thought about it that way, and that would probably benefit me in the long run anyway, so thank you for that. So we're just going to chat with Chelsea and see where today brings us, and without further ado, hello, Miss Chelsea.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's Monday. Monday Madness. Motivation Monday. Mm-hmm. Here we are. You live on this magical lake, countryside, all the nature, all the animals, the views, the peace. Every time I come out here, the second I get out of my car, I'm just like, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the good stuff.
We just watched the new baby bald eagle hunting for the first time.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, magical.
Yes.
Yeah, very magical land.
I also want to mention that we are sitting inside of her sauna. Is that what you would call this? A sauna? Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. First time in a sauna, so things might get a little sweaty here in a bit. I'm sitting right next to the heater, but this is pretty cool. I like this a lot.
Infrared heat. It's a very cleansing. It's very detoxifying. It penetrates deep into the body and then radiates out. Helps detoxify, stimulate internal organs, heat. You can burn through like 700 calories in an hour in here. Like, yeah, because it's, it's that deep internal.
Very okay. Cleansing. Yeah. Yes, like down to the cellular level almost.
It is.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of work together over the years, and I think one of the most powerful lessons that I've learned from you is that as a society, we've been trained to give our power away to practitioners, to healers, to other modalities, whatever it might be. But we are actually the healer. Mm. We are actually the one that embodies the power. Mm. But we've been trained to believe that it's not that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we're all still waiting for Jesus, the chosen one. And yet, are we not the incarnation of Jesus at this point? Are we all not the whatever? What am I thinking? I'm not disciples of. We're the product of. We're the children of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think a big disconnect, too, especially with women, is that we are made to believe that we are small, that we are not equal to man, or that we don't deserve to get paid the same that they do, or that we aren't as strong as them, or whatever. And no male bashing here, truly, just everyone plays a different role. Everyone has different strengths and different weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about why women are, like, way more powerful than we're led to believe?
Oh my gosh, well, we're the womb of the universe. The reproduction doesn't happen without a woman. Now, does it happen without a man? Absolutely not. But can a man house a human and bring it earthside and push it from their body and create it with the cells that they possess? No. So that just tells you innately that women have a different magic in the universe than their male counterparts. And as a mom of two boys, it's an interesting world that I'm trying to balance, as far as I do not necessarily identify as a feminist. I believe in equality, but I also have two young boys who I am raising as kings, and to honor a queen or whatever they choose when they are ready to choose, but to not to take away from their might, their power, their king, and also still shed light that I am a queen, and they will honor both. But it's very intentional that we do disconnect women from their essence, their power, their source, connection, because we are the womb. We are the, we are God manifested in this moment, and men are too, by all means, but we are the womb of the universe. We are the only ones that connect with a soul beyond this physical existence and are able to house it for 10 months and then eject it from our bodies naturally without any sort of support or assistance. But we've also been taught that we do need assistance as far as birth goes. So there's a lot. It goes very deep. It goes very far. Look at women's feminine products. It's laced, literally laced with chemicals. Yes, and those chemicals are disruptors, not only on the hormone level, but also on the psychological, the physical. They are chemicals that if you ingested those chemicals, you would need to call 911. But because they are on a tampon or a pad or whatever, then somehow it's okay. And that's part of the reason why we're seeing such a drop in fertility, is because of all these hormone disruptors, because of all these things that are meant to keep women disconnected from their essence, from source power, from who and what we are innately. It's very intentional. Look at birth control. Birth control, I mean, by all means, everyone choose their own path and connect with whatever they feel connected with. I am a healthcare provider, so I'm not telling anyone to do or not do something, but to maybe just do their own research on that. Birth control does not actually balance your hormones. It doesn't actually support any sort of hormones, even though that's what maybe a provider would tell you. All it does is it mutes. It's a mute. It mutes the production of, keeps you at a baseline of, when reality, hormones are meant to wax and wane with the moon, with the stars, with the waves of the ocean, with our cycle. And we've been trained now for so many years that our cycle is bad, when really the fact that we do bleed is power in and of itself. Our hair products, makeup, men don't wear makeup. They haven't been told that they're flawed. There's this endless, like, unattainable standard of beauty. And so we can always feed women with these things that are disruptive physically, energetically, spiritually, because I can tell you what and who you are, and there's a standard that you'll never meet, so you're constantly going to be a consumer of.
Right, or here's this next line of what's new and hot at the moment, mm-hmm. to just further tell you subconsciously, whether you're paying attention or not, mm-hmm. you are not enough, and that's why you need this. That's mm-hmm. why you would benefit from this, because it's going to make you mm-hmm. better.
Mm-hmm. And then when we, on the flip side of that too, when there is a woman that we see, it goes so much deeper than just like the physical, but there's a woman that we see, and she's just in her own power, not wearing makeup, maybe just in her own essence, and we innately as women have been trained to like not like her, or to think something's wrong with her, or not just honor her. And it's just this like not enoughness, that there's not enough seats at the table, there's not enough consumers of whatever it is that you're bringing your magic to the world with, and just that mean girl spirit. And so even beyond what you're saying of like, I can keep you as a consumer, there's never this enoughness, but then you do see a woman who is in her enoughness, and immediately it's a negative.
Right. So for women, it's kind of like a lose-lose situation, no matter how you look at it.
I mean, men too. I mean, look at men. They have an unattainable standard as well. And not to throw all men out, you know, the baby with the bathwater. It's not men necessarily. It's the masculine. It's the imbalance of the feminine and the masculine. We are of both. We are the yin, the yang, the light, the dark. And when there's out of balance, then we start to see how the patriarchy is created, because there is this overdominance of the masculine, of producing, of the checking the box, of the do, the produce. Whereas the feminine, we're meant to receive, we're meant to be the nurturer, we're meant to be so intuitive. And not that men aren't, but it's a balance of. So we can't categorize, just because you have a penis, you innately have this belief about yourself, but it comes from the imbalance of masculinity. And like I said, I'm watching this with my boys. Of how do I parent my boys to be men of honor, honoring the feminine while also honoring their masculine? I don't want them to mute their masculine to be more feminine, to create equality, how can they just honor what and who they are while also being able to honor someone else, whether feminine or masculine? So it's not necessarily just innately that you have a penis and that makes you, you know, it's just like ego. Like, just ego is not the big dick syndrome. It's just, it's a primal response. It's the same thing with men we're seeing. If they're so conditioned to be in their masculine because it's bad to cry. It's bad to show emotions. It's bad not to be the warrior. It's bad not to be all of these things as far as society says. But in reality, it's not the penis that's the problem. It's the imbalance of the masculine and the feminine.
I see. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I'm noticing and working on is self-awareness, know better, do better, taking inventory on self, because I think now, especially that I've gone through as many experiences as I have, and just side note, I call my traumas or my pain experiences moving forward, because trauma sometimes has, well, always has a negative connotation associated with it. So I'm trying to switch that around a little bit. And I liked the term experience, because experience can be either or. There's no real term to it. So I like that. But in the experiences that I've had, there are times when I needed to take ownership and accountability for that particular circumstance. But because I was living from an ego space, I believed that it was better to blame and shame and judge and guilt and whatever than to be like, okay, well, why is this bothering me? What is happening inside that's causing this trigger? Okay, well, maybe it could be this, or maybe it could be this, or okay, universe, well, I'm not really sure what's going on here, but I'm pretty heated about it. So can you maybe give me a sign? Or like, maybe when I'm meditating, I can ask, like, you know, what is this? Why are you showing this to me? And I think one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is that life does not happen to you. Life happens for you. And we come into this physical incarnation. We wear this human meat suit as a vehicle to navigate through this life, whatever it brings us. And we have contracts with hundreds and thousands of people, and we come here to learn. We come here to experience what it is to be human. And I think right now there's this like identity crisis and ego death going on, which I'm super stoked about, because it gives us an opportunity to get curious about who we are and why we're here. But at the same time, it's like, well, shit, who am I? What do I want? I'm in the process of saving and buying a house. And so I'm like already giving myself all these limitations and all of these stories, but they are just that. They are stories. They are a thought that I am telling myself over and over and over before my brain believes it. And once my brain believes it, then it is then a belief. Right? Because thoughts plus belief equals creation. So I think when people understand the idea that we are frequency, energy, and vibration. And if you're having a crap day and you're just feeling like fear and guilt and shame and all these low vibrational emotions, that's what you're going to attract. Whereas if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I just accomplished this at work, and oh, I just finished up that project, and oh, I made my bed today and I meditated. Yes, today's going to be such a good day. And then that day ends up being like a pretty easy day, right? So you have a lot more power than you're led to believe that you do. And I did this exercise recently where I was talking to a friend and I kept saying like, I need to. And she was like, no, stop. Instead of saying I need to, say I am. And so I did. And I felt the shift inside, because your words actually mean way more than you think they do. And I recently watched this thing on Gaia where there was an exercise and this tool where the words that you speak actually have a vibration and a color and like all these different things. And they were like, talk about something that you don't enjoy. So she did. And there was negative connotation associated. And it was just kind of like black and white and gray and just like not very colorful and pretty. Whereas when she was talking about dancing and traveling the world and this job that she's been doing for 10 years that she loves so much, the screen just totally changed. Geometric shapes started popping up. It was incredible. So your words are so powerful. And because we are moving from the third dimension into the fifth dimension, the earth resonance and frequency is rising, we have to come along. Mm. And so for the people that are struggling, what would be your best advice to kind of move through whatever this is?
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Okay. Where to start? So yes, just to even like piggyback of what you said, like life isn't happening to you, it's happening through you, and that it's not this law of attraction of like what you put out to the world necessarily is what you're going to get back. It's actually what you create in your mind. So when you were saying about I'm in my fear, I'm in my resentment, I'm in my whatever, you're not necessarily attracting it to you, you're seeking it. And so therefore it is going to come to you because you are looking for it. And so then like attracts like, mm-hmm. like meets like. The frequency that you are in is all you're going to see and find. And in order to break that, in order to alter the state, the energetic state that you're in, the frequency that you're in, start, like you just said, changing the behavior, changing the pattern, by either changing how you speak, because our words are more than just words, just like numbers are more than numbers, they're symbols, they are energy. Our what we say to the universe is almost like a promise, whether you know it or not. It's a I only am worthy of this, so this is all I'm going to do, and this is all I'm going to allow you to give me and receive. So one place you can start is knowing that nothing has meaning until you have given it meaning. And that's what the whole human experience is about, is connecting meaning to this human journey, this experience. And where we've gotten it distorted is we've attached meaning to everything rather than just allowing experiences to be an experience. Or we keep attaching, we rinse and repeat trauma, we rinse and repeat whatever generational things that keep getting passed on and passed down, we keep repeating those and then attaching meaning more to that experience. Because we all know that the sky is blue, it's like, well, what if the sky isn't actually blue? What if that's just been what we've been told? And so start questioning these things that we've been told, that maybe it's not true. Maybe it just is like, maybe that's actually red, and what I believe is red is actually blue, but because I've been told it, then that's all I believe that it is. And what if that's the way with all the things? So it's about disconnecting the meaning that we've attached to so many things, because when you place meaning on something, whether it's high vibrational or not, that's the limitation of. And so what you can do is just knowing that nothing has meaning until you have attached meaning to it, you've attached emotion to it. And that is the way the human brain works. So it's not something that's wrong or bad. It's just about evaluating and taking inventory of and assessing, well, why do I keep attaching this sort of meaning to things? Trauma, for example, labeling everything as trauma, when actually it is. It's just an experience. It's just a moment in time that's brought you to this here moment. So it's actually not trauma. It's actually life-giving, because here you are. You're still alive. Each breath is here. So that, what a gift. So shifting the energy that you have placed, shifting the meaning that you have given to everything, is a way of breaking free of that frequency, breaking free of that constant rinse and repeat. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
You lost me for a second. She's long gone. She was out of here.
That's all right.
Somebody's trying to talk to you. I don't know who yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one time we had a conversation and you said something and it blew my mind, because I didn't even know it was possible. But I said something about passing down from one generation to the mm-hmm. next, and you were like, nope, that's bullshit. And I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Are you talking about the physical body or are you talking about the energetic?
I mean, both.
So physical body, we are not subject to our genes. There is only perfection. The gene will stop replicating if it is not in perfect sequence. And that is how God, the creator, source, universe, whatever the fuck you want to call it, has created us as. But because there are so many disruptors, here we have disruption in the genes to manifest in the environment of disruption, through disruption, into disruption. So there is no hereditary unless you continue to follow through with the energetic and physical patterns of because your genes are only going to manifest according to the environment that they are in. Period.
Got it.
Period. So, there is no not beyond that.
So is it kind of like a, like, let's just say grandma had mom, grandma grew up with abusive spouse, and then mom, that's all she saw growing up, didn't see a healthy relationship, automatically attracts the unhealthy spouse, and then that causes depression and a slew of other things, because let's be honest, most chronic illnesses come from stress and trapped energy, non-released emotions, all that. So it's almost like the health field has it so wrong, but that's very intentional to keep us disconnected. Because if we knew how connected we actually were, there would be no need for the government. There would be no need for us to go to the grocery store. We would just live off of the land. Like, that's kind of how it was all supposed to be in the first place. And then the Industrial Revolution popped up and changed the game.
Yeah, this is only the past, like, maybe barely 200 years that we have lived this way. Not even. It hasn't been this industrialized, but since the early 1900s. So we're barely 150 years into this way of living. And not only that, look at the birth industry. It's only been about the last 50 to 75 years that we have birthed in a hospital. The only reason you would go to a hospital is if you or your newborn were in distress, like a serious distress. Otherwise, you birthed at home. There was a birthing room at home. Everyone birthed at home. You couldn't, if you had to go to the hospital, you couldn't afford to go to the hospital. Most people, there wasn't a financial exchange. It was bartering. It was currencies was just so different than here's a dollar bill, let's exchange this for this or that. It was, I produce my own things until I actually need some extra resources, and therefore I will sell my 10 pounds of potatoes that I've grown for whatever so that I can go and buy extra cloth because I need to produce this. Whereas now it's just like, no, I work 8-hour days, 7 days a week to get this fake thing that actually is not, it's so not real now. It's so not real now that it literally just floats around us. Like, money just floats from one place to another all of a sudden versus like, actually, here's 5 coins. This is what 5 coins are. It's silver.
Right. It's more zeros and ones at this point because cash is sort of going away.
Intentionally so.
Right.
Very much intentionally so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Energetically, there's just, okay, wait, where was your original question? Because I got lost there for a second. I was talking about birth.
Genetics?
Genetics? Yeah. Hereditary is a made-up word. Genetic is a made-up word.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the gene will only reproduce according to the environment that it's in, and we have given so many things to this physical environment to create disruption because Dorothy had the ruby slippers all along, and she didn't even know that she was wearing it. Like, we all have had the power all along to create and manifest the entire thing that we want. Everything that we've dreamed of is a message from divine. We've had the power all along, but we have allowed that power to be given to someone, something else. And that's why there's all these invisible things that we can't actually physically touch that we've become afraid of. Our genes, diseases, etc., hereditary, blah, 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 bullshit. And that's a way of also containing us, keeping us small, because actually many of those things either don't exist, are made up, and or are fed to us in a way that, like, we have to fear all of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. There she is, all of it. Dorothy had her slippers all along. She was wearing them the whole time. And she had to walk that whole journey and have the good witch tell her that you've had the power all along to go home. And then she had to believe that she had the power all along, so then she went home. But up until that moment, she had to go through all of those experiences, the same as the human experience. Whatever those people were taking that created Wizard of Oz, I'll take a dose of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, we're finally at a point now where spirituality and, like, the new age is more of an open concept, and people are opening their minds to the idea that maybe we're not the only thing. And it's pretty naive of us to believe that we are, because humans are, like, a new thing on Earth, right? And I'm guessing this is probably how many cycles that we've done this, right? So it's just constant reincarnation, one after the other, to basically graduate and expand and move on to the next level of density. So one thing that I think people get hung up on is, oh, well, I wanted this thing and I made my vision board and I do my affirmations and I'm just not manifesting. Like, what's going on? Right. So what is the true key to manifestation? Because in my experience, what I'm learning is it has nothing to do with the affirmations or the vision board or none of that shit. It is straight up, what do you believe you are worthy of?
Yeah. I mean, we'd all be millionaires if we could affirm, if affirmations worked, we would all be millionaires.
Right.
All of us.
Right.
And so therefore, innately, we should know that affirmations are bullshit. It is the subconscious beliefs that we hold within ourselves, not only from this physical existence and this physical lifetime, from past lives and from future lives, because time is not linear. It's actually just a construct of the human mind. It does not exist. A day does not exist until you have labeled it and created meaning around that day. So the way to manifest is actually understanding what it is that you're truly desired, what you're truly came here to this planet, this existence, this time around to create, to have, to produce, etc. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe I was fed this idea that I need to have $1 million because if I have $1 million, then I'm worthy of love, acceptance, etc. It's like, well, actually, no, that's not true. Like, what do you need to feel love and acceptance? What do you need to feel whole and worthy? It's not money. So let's break down the beliefs that you have about yourself. Well, okay, well, I gave my power away. Okay, so actually the thing that you think you want, that you're trying to affirm into existence, right, you're trying to manifest, isn't actually yours to have. But that's not to say you can't have $1 million. It just means the meaning that you've attached to that $1 million is never going to come to life because it's not through your true, authentic soul self. It's through this belief that you've created, whether it's from passed down or you've just associated money with acceptance and love and worth. So then you created a belief about something, whether it was passed down or not. And so therefore the thing that you're actually trying to create and manifest isn't real. And until you have connected with who and what you are, truly just love and God manifested in this moment, will you manifest the things that are meant to be yours. And that's not to say it's not $1 million, but it won't come through that way. It won't, period.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm recognizing and realizing that love is all there is. Mm. Love is all there is. Mm-hmm. And anything else is just noise.
Distraction.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm noticing that I'm not very interested in my social media. And if I am, it's for a very short period of time. I'm not really interested in being as social as I once was, because then other people's opinions and whatever can kind of interject into where I'm like, I'm sitting on my high flying disc, as Abraham Hicks would call it. And just trying to appreciate and be grateful. Like, I'm sitting here in this spot in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm 35, I'm not married, I don't have kids, I don't have a house. Like, wow, this is not where I thought I would be. But at the same time, I have really good health. I have a car that gets me from A to B. I have a very stable job. It takes a village and I have one. Mm-hmm. And I'm super grateful for the people in my life. I'm super grateful that I'm able to pay my bills every month. I'm grateful that I have a big warm bed to sleep in at night. I have clothes to pick from. Like, life is juicy good, right? It's juicy good. And it's like that for most people. But because we live in this world of lack and limitation and I'm not enough and I don't have enough and, oh, that new thing just went on sale, so now I can afford it and now I can get it. What does that purse even mean? Right? It holds your shit. Like, it does that. Who fucking cares? But because we are constantly scrolling the social media and constantly looking at the news and just like comparing ourselves to everything. Like, if you watch too much HGTV, eventually you're going to feel like your house is inadequate. Mm-hmm. You know, if you hang around people that are constantly talking about money and you don't have it, then you're gonna think you're inadequate. Mm-hmm. But you are the one that gets to decide what you want and how you want to live. Mm-hmm. And what's important to you. Like, I remember, like, I come from a very affluent background and I used to think that I wanted like the big fancy cars and all the money and the big house and all that. And then I met you and like kind of saw how you're living off the land and have your little farm out here and do all your little things. And do you have a huge mansion? No, but is it peaceful and amazing and magical and everything that you could want? Yes. Right? Like, this is a little slice of heaven. But heaven is subjective. One person's heaven's going to vary to another's. So I think more than anything at this point in time, what I'm focusing on is just being grateful for what I have. Because I've learned that if you're not grateful for what you have, then why on earth would the universe give you more? Because you won't be grateful for that either. Right? So really just recognizing that, like, you are God in human consciousness in this physical meat suit, and we will once again be connected with source energy, and the cycle rinse and repeat, right? But one of the things that you and I have been working on recently is that I need to forgive my family and kind of move past that whole thing, because it's been, you know, X amount of years. And I'm at the point now where I don't want to hold hate in my heart, because it really is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's a waste of your time and energy. But it's also challenging sometimes to really let that go, because it's something that I've held on to for a long time. I have created a lot of peace in my life by disconnecting, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that has family stuff, don't we all? Right? But at the same time, there's peace in forgiveness. There's peace in accepting that this person is never going to act the way that I want them to, and it's not my job to tell them how to act. It's my job to love them as they are. Right? And that was a powerful moment for me, because I've been an ego for a long time, and moving out of ego is no easy challenge, right? It's really hard. It's really hard, but it's also very beneficial to your soul and to your space and to your energy and to your freedom. Because when you just have radical acceptance of yourself and everyone around you, we're all on this earth planet doing the best we can with what we have, with what we know. Right? So can we be a little more forgiving of one another? Can we be a little more understanding that, like, we all have bad days, and sometimes you catch me on the day that I'm about to blow, right? So being quick to forgive, being quick to say sorry, being quick to say, you know what, I'm really not in a space where I feel comfortable talking about this. Can we maybe circle back to this next week? Just using conscious communication, right? So that we can just make this place a little kinder, because with all honesty, I don't want to raise children in this environment right now. And for all of you mama bears that are out there and daddy bears that are just killing it, trying to teach your kids how to be good humans, more power to you, right? Because that is no easy job. But we want a better future than what we had. Isn't that the perpetual cycle that keeps going? Isn't that what we want for our next generation, is to bridge that gap? And
No. What was wrong with before?
Well, that's, I'm saying if before wasn't, like, maybe, like, if you look back on your life and wish that it had been different.
Why would I look back on my life and wish it had been different? Because I'm here. There is no different. You can wish all the fuck you want. It's not going to be. So projecting that into the future onto your children is literally just a projection of yourself. That is selfish.
Oh.
Every day is the best day ever. Period. Because you're breathing, you're alive, and it's a gift not met by many. And all you're doing by saying that of, I want better for the next generation, is to say, then what was wrong with today? Nothing was wrong with today, period. Even if I stepped in a pile of dog shit, like, it's still a perfect and beautiful day, because what happens to that shit is it's gonna turn into nutrients in my soil, which is going to feed the vegetables that I'm trying to produce, so then I can ingest those vegetables at the highest frequency that there is. So no, that's just continued pressure and belief from society that there is something better than right now. And there is nothing better than right now. The beliefs that you hold about yourself, though, those may need to shift. Those have an opportunity to shift. But there is no better than right now.
Okay. See, this is why I love her, guys. You say things and she's like, nope, there's a better way to do that. Nope. That's
not a better way. There's an aligned way. There's a disconnect from what the belief that you have about life and living possibly way of that. Again, it's just like you said, there is never enough. And so then all I have is all I have, so I have to produce more for my children. It's like, actually, all I need to do is hold space for them, because they came into this existence knowing all. and I can create a soft container for them to explore their own knowing while also sharing the knowings that I have experienced of how to garden, how to navigate through finances and et cetera and relationships and whatnot. But that's not to say that what I don't have is enough. Now, again, it goes back to what you asked about manifestation and manifesting more or different or whatever. That's always available to us. But we again, we have to check the projections and the beliefs that we have about what it is that we're trying to manifest. And that's why it's not going to come through. That's why there will never be enough, because everybody keeps thinking there is something more. It's like, actually, no, look outside. This is it. And it's fucking beautiful. But because you can't see it, because you don't think this is enough, it never will be. It never will be perfect. It will never be beautiful. When outside, it's like, oh my gosh, did you, like, what? This is what Earth is? Wow. This is why so many souls keep wanting to reincarnate and come back here. Because once you leave, you're like, holy Moses. This is like a planet of rock and water and frequency and sound and, like, what? Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty cool that I can hit a button on my phone and then I can publish it within, like, a minute. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yes, it's all about disconnecting, disassociating with the meanings that you have produced and created about your life. And then from there, evaluating, okay, well, then what is the truth? What is it that I do truly want? To figure out that actually everything has been what it will always be. There is no wish or should or would or could. It actually is always was going to be. Here and now, and rather than fighting that, it's showing gratitude to it, of the universe, like, okay, what universe were you trying to teach me to this now moment from lifetime to lifetime, so that I can break that chain, learn that lesson, and then actually truly have everything it is I ever really truly in my soul desired, not what society told me to desire.
Yeah, I think that if I would have grown up without a TV, my belief systems would be a little different, for sure.
Probably. That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Yeah.
The box isn't always so good. Yeah. There have been times where we have briefly touched on time, but time is a construct. Time is not real. Time is something that is just something that we sort of use to get from A to B and to be on time places and whatever. So my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, is time is more of a stacked thing than it is a, like, horizontal, like, if you draw a pen, like, pen on paper, draw a line across, here's the past, here's the present, here's the future. Yeah. It's more flip that 180.
Yeah, it's an elevator.
It's an elevator.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
So there have been times when I have been talking with people and, like, I'm in a deep conversation, and you know how sometimes you can just, like, hold someone's gaze. So I can feel myself sort of moving into another dimension as the background sort of blurs out, and their body and their face doesn't get distorted so much, but, like, I can tell that I'm no longer sort of in the time space. Like, I'm just sort of, like, floating, if you will. Like, everything's the same around me. So I think that magic sometimes has, like, a, like, it's like sorcery or whatever, but it's, and it is in a way, but it's just the power that we hold. It's the universe that we live in. It's always magical all the time. So in association with time, what am I trying to say? It's more about the journey rather than the destination. Mm-hmm. Like, we have this thing, like, oh, like, I used to tell myself all the time, if I don't have kids by the time I'm 35, I'm not having kids. Well, I just turned 35 and I'm not ruling kids out just yet. I still have plenty of time. So that's still something that I kind of toggle with, but I know that there's, like, I remember on our first session, I said something about that exact same thing, and you were like, no, like, you can have babies in your 40s, it's fine. People do it all the time. But there's this, like, hard set rule that if you're, what is it, like, 35, 36, 37, something around there, you have, like, you're a geriatric pregnancy. Well, these terms, first of all, are shitty and defining, and like geriatric. I'm 37. Like, that's crazy.
But listen to yourself even attaching a meaning to this.
Right. Exactly. So how can we train ourselves or practice more removing the meaning of things that we see and hear on the daily?
Knowing that you have the power to do that.
Say more.
You're the one that's creating the meaning. You're the one attaching to that moment. You are the one just now getting worked up about being called a geriatric pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I was just using that as an example.
Yeah, but it was affecting you physically. You were starting to get in an energy, in a different state, in a different energetic state.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the only one that can do that. So you are allowing that word to define something for you, rather than, actually, that's a made-up term that's maybe true, but maybe it's not true. And I'm going to choose whether or not I identify with that and create a meaning about it, period.
So it's just constant discernment then, from one idea to the next. Discerning what you want to attach to and not.
It's knowing that you have the power, yes, to discern. You have the power to create, to attach, to create meaning of, like, yes. And it's that sort of responsibility and awareness, rather than on the flip side of saying, oh no, somebody defined that already. And so therefore that's what I am. I have ADHD, so therefore that's all I am.
Right.
Or by that removes the power of. Yes. And then so therefore I have no responsibility there. You just have to tell me because I'm a victim of these definitions that somebody else created. When in reality, it's like, none of those things are true and real. It's mm-hmm. only the truth and realness and the meaning that you've attached to that thing, place, person, moment, etc.
I worked with a guy part-time back in like 2015, 16, something like that. Super nice guy. He had me do some of his bookkeeping stuff for medical. He did like mental health stuff and coding. He was a coder. Mm. So I would do like data entry for him because he was a one-man show. And he told me that the codes have increased a lot over the past like 50 years. Mm. And that a lot of these things aren't actually real, but it's something that we put a code on and we put a name on, and then we say that this set of behaviors is this thing, therefore you are broken, you are damaged, there's something wrong with you, and that's why we need to give you a pill to fix you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also on the top, to continue with that, to say something's wrong with me physically, energetically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, and rather than knowing that I'm the common denominator, I am the only one responsible for this existence, what we have been trained to do is seek experience and knowledge from somebody else to therefore for them to turn around and say, yes, you have this, you are this, etc. So then again, it takes the responsibility off of me, the human, and places it on either a label or another person. When, again, Dorothy, you had the power to go home all along. You wore the ruby slippers the whole time. It's, you have the power to heal. No one's a healer. Nobody is any of that bullshit. Only you are. But we are just so trained and conditioned that I need to give my power over to somebody else to thus give me something. And yes, all those codes, all those things are made up. And everybody will say, well, not everybody, a lot of people will say, well, that's just advancement in medicine. Like, no. Actually, that's an advancement of pharmaceutical drugs and like pharmaceutical companies at using you as guinea pigs and also profits. Like, those things actually aren't real. Like, nobody needs any of those medications. Maybe you need to go spend time in nature. Maybe you need to go tell your mama sorry. Maybe you need to forgive, or maybe you needed that. And I'm not discrediting or taking away from anybody's illness or injury or any of those things. I'm not discrediting those things or taking away from them. But I am saying that there's more to the puzzle than just what we have been sold from pharmaceuticals.
Yes, I remember right after an incident, I went to a doctor and I thought that I needed to be on some form of like anti-anxiety, antidepressant, whatever. And I ended up taking myself off of them because I didn't like the zombie feel. Like, I felt like my whole personality was just like gone. I was just like a blob in space. And so when I talked to her, she was like, "Why did you take yourself off of them?" And I was like, "Because I didn't feel like a human." And she was like, "Well, we're going to have to come up with something else." And I was like, "Well, can we talk about like maybe me going out in nature or like meditating or yoga or anything like that?" And she was very dismissive of all that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the big causes of people losing their power is what doctors, I mean, doctors should, but like before giving someone a pill, like, let's look at your environment. Let's look at what you eat. Let's look at, do you drink or do drugs? Are you getting enough sleep at night? Are you doing things that are conducive to your well-being, or is everything out of whack? And if everything's out of whack, then let's start there. And then if all of those modalities aren't helping and we're not seeing any improvement, and we've tried the yoga and the sunshine and the eating right and healthy, exercising, whatever. If that's not working, then sure, maybe we can come up with an intervention in addition to all of those things. But I just think it's unfortunate that our pharmaceutical industry benefits from people not knowing where their power is. And just not feeling that sovereignty over themselves. And I mean, yeah, if you go through an experience that is traumatic or painful, sometimes your body has a response to that. Most of the time your body has a response to that, and it goes down on a cellular level. So until you are even aware of that, how are you supposed to fix it? And the TV tells you, "Oh, well, if there's something wrong, go to the doctor." You talk to your friends, "Oh, have you gone to the doctor?" Like, it's just such an instant response. Whereas, you know, let me listen to my body for a couple of days. Let me just kind of like feel things out. You know, I wish that was the training side of things versus what it actually is right now, because I don't think it's benefiting the people. I think it's very much stripping us of our powers and taking away from, just further disconnecting us, you know, because if you're on an antidepressant for a long period of time, maybe you're not as active as you once were. Maybe you are, I don't know, but there's other side effects to medications than just the one thing that it's healing. And I think that's a big problem too. There's more problems that come from trying to fix the thing that there was the problem, you know?
Well, let me just start off by saying, if somebody is having an issue with their physical body, energetic body, emotional body, do seek help, period. And continue to seek help until you feel you are heard and some sort of validation of. So this isn't to tell people not to go seek medical help or seek a doctor or seek a provider or seek support. It's a matter of questioning the questioning beyond the first response that somebody has been given, that the immediate reaction is medicate. And sometimes it is. Like, if you are in psychosis, my husband's a nurse, my background is in sports medicine. So if there is, sometimes we just need to stabilize the wound, whatever the wound is, whether it's physically I can see the wound or energetically, emotionally I can't see the wound. We need to stabilize the wound. We need to put a brace on. We need to put bandages on. We need to stop the bleeding, tourniquet, etc. We need to stabilize the wound. And then from there, I'm going to feed it all the things necessary to amplify and enhance the healing of physically and or emotionally. So sometimes there is a space, but we have given so much space because we are so ill and we are so disconnected. We've given so much space that, oh, immediately it must be, I need a medication of, or I need a blah, blah, blah of. Well, maybe that's the case, but maybe it's not. And so leaving that door open, leaving that window open, that there are other things available to us. But yes, 100% to seek support if in any way, shape or form that you are feeling. This is not to discredit anybody's mental illness, but we are mentally ill because we are disconnected from ourselves.
Right. Okay, so we only have about 10 minutes left. So I want you to touch on what you do all day, every day. And I also want you to touch on, if you can, kind of what you do, how you do, what is higher level consciousness, all that kind of stuff.
So all day, every day, I'm a mama. I have two little boys, and that's pretty much what I do most days. That's not, that's number one. Mm-hmm. And second, I am a goddess of the land.
Yes, that is an understatement.
As much as possible.
Yes.
As far as a energetic exchange, which most people would call what you do for work and what you do for money, I don't still have a label for it or a way to define it, but I can just listen. I just listen really, really well. I am able to hear and see things that most people aren't hearing or seeing. And I can relay that information of what I'm hearing and seeing or feeling or sensing in a way that most people aren't aware that they can do themselves.
Yes, I definitely took your channeling class. And it's worth every penny.
Yeah, gonna have another in June.
Good. My experience was not only an information overload, like holy cow, the things that I thought I knew that I didn't. Mm-hmm. The intervention of disconnect goes so deep and so wide, mm-hmm. from our water to our food to the air that we breathe to so many other things. Mm-hmm. But I loved it because I learned. I loved it because I released a lot of things that I was holding on to that I didn't really believe that I needed to let go of, that were no longer serving me. So that was really good. It gave me a sense of identity loss, which has been really fun and not so fun all at the same time. Because you just have to take radical ownership of yourself. And when you've been playing the victim your whole life, because that's what you thought you were supposed to do, was blame others for all your stuff, you know, that's not an easy road to take. But it is wonderful, and it is so freeing, and it is so much love. Like, I feel way more love now than I ever did. And it's not even from, like, my gratitude of all the things and the life that I have. It's simply, I am here on this planet at this time, and I get to interact with other humans, and I get to work hard. I get to have a job. I get to wake up every day. You know, I have a friend that's struggling with more health issues than she knows what to do with, and she's feeling like she doesn't want to be here anymore, and that super sucks, you know? So really finding, like, where your sweet spot is, and knowing that...
She had a virus, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll get on that later. Just being super appreciative of every day that you get to wake up, because it is an honor to be here. And it is, like you say, a privilege met by few. And I want, one of my goals on this planet while I'm here is to help make it a better place, one person at a time. No matter how that comes, no matter how it goes, whatever. I just want people to know that they have the freedom to choose. You always have choice. Always. Mm-hmm. So, do you have anything else that you want to say, go over?
I mean, there's so much. I could just even dissect the things that you just said a little bit more, but, I could talk for hours, and that's where I have to be like, okay,
so I know, me too. Conversations with Chelsea thing. They usually last very long time.
It goes back to, sometimes you just need a hand to hold though through this, and that's perfectly okay. We could be receiving all the information, the downloads, the messages, etc., and sometimes you can't make sense of it, or you don't even know that's what's happening, and so sometimes you just need a hand to hold. And that's my space. I just will hold your hand and I will listen.
Yes. I will say with every fiber of my being, you are a very unique human, and it is an honor to know you. And I'm so happy that we are friends and that we get to spend time together and we get to do things together and just helping women everywhere. And it's just been so rad. So thank you so much for being
so
on my
honored.
Podcast. So yeah, so good. So with that, we're going to close it out. I love you all. We did touch on some heavier stuff today, so just know that if you do need help, please seek the help that you need, and look at the resources that are available to you. I love you all so much. Until next time, we'll see you soon. Bye.